open doors before us. Revelation chapter 3. And I'm going to start at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I'll write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. These seven churches that it's written to in the Bible here, there's a bunch of really, really common things here that Jesus does to each church. He knows their works, he says. And he says, he that hath an ear, that means an ear to hear, as Jesus said so often, let the individual hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now, he says that to every church. In verse 13, he that hath an ear, that's an individual, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So he has a message for a church, and yet that he that has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the church. And to this church, he talks about an open door. So we want to pray, and we'll talk about open doors tonight. Let's pray together. And Father, Lord, there's no fancy prayer I could pray. There's nothing I could say that would impress you or make you think that I know something that you don't already know that I know, which is vain is the help of man, and the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Father, we know that we do our best and look at our abilities and try to do as best as we can and prepare for situations in life, and whether that be preaching a sermon or driving to work in the morning, Father, we always do our best. And yet, Lord, we come and know that we don't know that we'll get anywhere safely. We don't know you won't come back before the end of the message. We don't know that what the need is in the room when we speak. Father, there's so many situations. And Father, I need you desperately, Lord. And I come to you tonight and say, though I've prepared what I think you want for us tonight, Lord, we need your Spirit to take control and to speak. For without you, we can do nothing. And it's not by might nor by power, by your Spirit. And so we ask now that the Holy Spirit please bless and do what man can't do, which is change a life and speak to hearts. And even maybe tonight, Lord, you can transform one or two lives so they can become great, mighty Christians who go through open doors for you. And we just put these things into your hands and ask you to work through them and bless the message and speak through the message, Lord, and take me and just cleanse me and anoint me and fill me with your Spirit's power as I speak tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's obviously in this verse here, there's a lot in this section. This is one of the great churches in the book of Revelation. He writes a letter to seven churches, and the number seven is completion. It's a letter to all the churches and all the Gentile churches. They're all these churches are Gentile churches, and there's a lot in there, and a lot of people talk about how much dispensational meaning is in this and other things, but we understand this is written to a church. There was a church in Philadelphia. This letter was written to them, and this church had great power and great open doors and great blessings from God. And it says, I want to tell you who I am. And whenever Jesus describes himself to each church differently, because when he's describing himself to that church, he's telling them who he is, because he's the answer they need. And he is what will bless and work in this situation. And so he says, I am he that hath the key of David. And verse 7, unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David. He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. So a bunch of things. He says, first of all, I'm a holy God. He says, I am true. I have the key, and the key of David and the kingdom of God. And I open a door, and no man can shut it. And I shut the door, and no man can open it. So we talked about an open door there that only he could open and only he can shut. In verse 8, I know thy works, and I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. So he's talking about open doors before them, and we see this phrase used throughout the Bible several different times about open doors, and we want to understand what open doors are and how to get open doors and how God works through open doors. And we want to find open doors, and I think that's very important. Let me just give you some points on open doors. Number one, the Lord's open doors are very powerful. The Lord's open doors are very powerful. When God opens a door, it doesn't matter what is trying to stand in the way. No man can shut it, it says in this verse. It says it's very powerful. And are we on? We are. Good. Okay, good. It says it is very powerful. No man can shut the door. When God decides to bless, if you read the history of revival, and there's some amazing histories of revival, there's so many great revivals that have happened throughout history, the ones in Spurgeon's time and Jonathan Edwards and the Wesleys and the Whitfield and revival after revival, the Welsh revivals, and there's many, many revivals in history. You see, when God decides to open doors, great things happen. No man can shut that door. Now, when there's, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, when there is open doors, of course, Satan fights it, but you find out that they can't stop it. They can't stop the revival. They can't stop God's opening doors. They can't stop God doing a great work because God can do whatever he wants to do and God cannot be stopped. But he's got to open the door. The Lord's doors are very powerful. No man can shut them, first of all. Secondly, they have a huge impact. See, when God opens the doors, what he's talking about is having an open door of ministry. An open door where he opens the door and says, come on in, here is great blessings, and I can do a great work here. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 16, and we'll go there a couple times tonight if you want to mark it. We're going to be there a few different times. But we see that it's a great effectual, an open door, a blessed door. Now, we are part of God's work. We do God's work, yet we are looking for open doors. We're looking for the doors that God has open for us, because when God opens a door, great things happen. I've said many times, we do all the great ideas and all the great plans and all the great promotions and try to think of as many ways of doing the church work and promoting the church as we can. And everything we do, we try to do well, just like we're talking about tonight about greeting the visitors. And everything we try to do our best as we can do it. And Robin and I were here last night staying up and fixing lights in this room as best we could and getting all as many lights on as we could because it's getting pretty dark in here. You know, we try to do all we can do, but our philosophy for building a church is don't try to build a church. Let Jesus build a church. He says, I'll build my church. Our philosophy is the power of God. God's got it open to open a door. The great works of God that we believe God can do here and God wants to do here happen not by the brilliance of man or because the pastor is so incredibly brilliant and wonderful and handsome, although we have that as a good start already. That was not the main reason that this happened. It was because God decided to bless. Now, I have seen, and in this very area, there has been some tremendous works, what I believe are works of man. And a very talented, I can talk about one church, the pastor was very, very smart. IQ was over 180, very brilliant, big strap and handsome fella, very smart, had everything going, and he built a church, and boy, that church was doing great and growing and thriving and everything else, and it's gone. He fell, the whole church fell, and nobody stayed around. It was a work of man. See, God, we want God to do the blessing. We will work and labor and try and pray and help and get ideas and think of things and do all of our things we can do. But we need God's blessing because God's open doors are very powerful. And Paul's talking about, I want to come visit you guys, but you know what? I got an open door here and I don't want to leave it. It says in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 16, for I now see you, for I will now not see you, now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. We'll get back to a lot of this verse, but it says a great door and effectual is open unto me. You can go back and read about this in the book of Acts, and we will. At the same time he's writing this, we can read what's happened in the book of Acts of what has happened in Ephesus. But I just want to say this, a great door had opened to him, and he says, I am not going to leave because I have an open door. Now, listen to me for a second, real, real important. When God has opened a door, go through it and don't leave it. Oh, I've seen so many people who find an open door in their life and great blessings in their life, and they leave it. They find a church where God's speaking to them, and boy, they got a great job offer in Paducah, Kentucky, and they leave. Don't leave God's open doors in your life. God's got a situation of blessing for you. Your family's changing. Your family's growing. God's working. Do not leave the place of the open door. When God is opening a door, you go through it. When God has opened a door for you to be used by Him, listen, stay there. When you're going soul winning and God's blessing your soul winning, keep on going. When God has got a ministry for you and He's blessing your ministry, stay in that ministry. When God's got God put you in something, all of a sudden you start visiting a nursing home and God just opens a door in that nursing home, go through it. Oh, you know what? I'm going to just start working some overtime on Saturday and you're going to get rid of the door God's open. You're going to walk back out that door. Oh, man. Paul said, I'm not leaving till Pentecost. I'm going to stay here for a long time because I've got this open door. I'm going to get this church at Ephesus established. It is a huge impact. He says, an open door and effectual, effective. He says, God is blessing. He's opened a door here, and it's wide open, and things are happening. Find open doors. They're powerful because they bring great impact. They bring great impact. Open doors are not to do little or less. You follow that? God's opened a door and He's going to make it so I can do very little for Him. That's not what an open door is. An open door is to do a lot for God. Acts chapter 14, let me go back here and just show you just another example of open doors. Open doors are God saying, look at this, I got an open door, go on through it, it's a great opportunity. And God wants to give you great opportunities. And wants to give me and our church and our ministry and Christians great opportunities. Acts 14 and verse 27. And when they were come, they had gathered the church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He'd opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And if you've read the book of Acts, you know that the Gentiles had accepted Christ. And they finally said, you know what? God opened this door for these Gentiles to get saved. That's awesome. And God opened the door. See, open doors are very powerful, and no man can shut them. Nothing, if God gives you an open door, it doesn't matter what anybody does. The world can fight you. People can make fun of you. The media can be against you. Your friends can mock you. All kinds of opposition can come, but when God opens a door, no man can shut that door. It is God's open door. Nobody takes the door out of God's hands and says, no, no, you don't, God, slam. God can hold open a door, and no man can shut it. By the way, when God shuts a door, no man can open it. Oh, I would love to preach on that. I don't have time today. But you know how many times I've seen somebody say, I want to go this way. And God says, door shut. And they go, I want to go this way. And somebody says, the door is shut. I'm going to go this way. You know how many people I've seen ram their head into doors that are closed because they want God to let them go that way? If God shuts the door, folks, this is real. You ready? Write this down. If a door is shut, don't keep running your head into it. God shut it for a reason. But you know, oftentimes the doors that we want to go through aren't open. And I want this, and I want that door, and I want to go through this. I want this relationship, or I want this. God shuts the door. I'm going to go do this. God shuts the door. Listen, Jonah tried to get on a ship and go the wrong way. Didn't go too well. When God shuts a door, no man can open it. The doors are very powerful. Number two, the Lord's open doors are unpredictable. The Lord's open doors are unpredictable. Let me go to take you to 2 Corinthians. Here's the thing, is you don't say, you know what? God, I want you to open this door and this door and this door. And God says, okay, I'm opening those three doors and leaving the rest shut just like you ask. That isn't always the way God works. God's open doors are sometimes unpredictable. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me, the Lord, and I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went thence to Macedonia. He says, you know what? I went to Troas, and all of a sudden I found out there was an open door. He said about Ephesus, I found out there was an open door. Look at Acts 16. You find them trying to find an open door, and they plan to do certain things, and it wasn't God's open door. Acts chapter 16, verse 6, now when they were gone throughout Perga and the region of Galatia, they're forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach your word in Asia. Before they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Then passing by Mysia, they came out of Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul and saying, go to Macedonia. They did not know that Macedonia is where they're supposed to go, but God's door is open. You're in a room full of doors of life, and you're looking around and saying, which way do I go, Lord? What do I do? And God says, I'm opening this door here. But you know what? You don't find that out until you try to go knock on some doors. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But God has, doors that are very unpredictable. Your life, if you serve God, will probably not go according to your plan. Your life, if you serve God, will probably not go according to your plan. But his plan's better. God's open doors are unpredictable. God opens doors where you're least expecting it. You did not, many of you, 5 years ago, if I said, you're going to be sitting in this church, listening to this kind of message, planning your life like this, that's God's plan for your life, you'd say, are you kidding me? I've got it all laid out. I'm not going there. You know why? Because God opens doors and they're very unpredictable. Pentecost was an open door, but it sure wasn't planned that way. They're just praying. That's all they're doing. They're praying in the room, upper room. God opens the door. 3,000 are saved and baptized that day. They weren't planning on a church service. They were just praying. Some of the great revivals you read about in history, nobody knew was going to happen. The Fulton Street prayer revivals, the guy just plain old, he just planned out, you know what? I'm going to go, and I'm going to have a prayer meeting at noon. If anybody wants to come join me, I'd like you to pray with me. I'm going to go on my lunch hour to the church. And the greatest revival in American history started. The Welsh revival, one 14-year-old girl, they got up, and it was just another meeting, and the preacher said, anybody have a testimony they want to give? And a 14-year-old girl stands up and says, I want everybody to know that I love Jesus with all my heart. Great revival spread. God's open doors are unpredictable. You just say, oh my soul, a door just opened. Wow. The power of God. Now, that was preceded by a bunch of prayer. Some people were praying. But you don't know what God's going to do. You know one of the strangest things I wish with all the years I've been working with people and winning people to Christ and discipling people? You know, if the people I think are going to make it don't always make it. Isn't that true, brother? People you think are going to make it, they don't always make it. And the people you say, I cannot believe they are turning out for God. What? Almost like you're like, you know what? I'm not even putting that much effort in them. Why are they turning out? See, that God's open doors are very unpredictable. When I was a teenager, my pastor started our church, and I wasn't saved. I was a heathen terror of the neighborhood. My best friend was a heathen terror of the neighborhood. And my pastor prayed for God to do a great work in the church. He started the church. He had some people come, but the church was really not on fire for God at all. But he was praying, and he was on fire for God. And he was praying, and the last people he expected to get on fire for God were me and my friend. We ran the first youth pastor out. He didn't want to say anymore. We were so bad. We seemed like rebels and terrible, but God got a hold of our heart, and we started praying for God to do a big work. God burdened our heart for the power of God and to do a big work, and we started praying and praying and praying and praying, and I've told the story about how we would pray late at night and pray a lot of times for God to do a big work. Strangest thing happened. We asked for God to do a great work, but it happened in a youth group, and the whole church was transformed by our youth group. Because we just began praying and praying and praying, and a few teenagers, boy, we got on fire for God, him and I, and all of a sudden, some other teenagers started getting on fire for God. And I mean, kids we never met, kids you never heard of. All of a sudden, my wife, she was going to a totally different church. She started coming to our church and got on fire for God. She wasn't on fire for God. So many people started coming. We had kids coming, and their parents were coming to church. We had kids coming whose parents were not good Christians. We had kids coming whose parents hated church. It was amazing the things that started happening. I laughed so many times thinking, the kids who came to church, we had one kid who started coming. He lived so far from the church. I mean, he must live 30 miles one way from the church. Out in the boonies. And he decided he wanted to come to church. And I don't even know how he got there half the time. But we used to pick him up and bring him to church. He'd come by. Maybe him and his brother would come. We'd pick him up. And that kid got so on fire for God. Went to public school. Literally, this kid, 15 years old, he witnessed to every single kid in his high school. We're talking a high school with maybe 500 students. He witnessed to every single... He told me, you know what? There's one kid I can't remember. I think I witnessed to them, but I'm not 100% sure. I know every other kid in the high school I've witnessed to, boy and girl. I said, we'll count it as all of them. You did fine. And every single one of them. I remember one day he went and invited his friend who lived by him. We were in Oregon City. His friend lived in Beaverton. That would be equivalent to us being here and your friend in Bellevue decided to come to church, which is fine, except for his parents couldn't give him a ride. But he told his friend, we got to go to church. It's an awesome church. Man, you're going to learn about it. He led his friend to Christ. His friend wanted to come to church. He says, man, you're going to love this church. You got to come with us. We'll go Sunday. And he found out his parents couldn't take him that week. The car broke down or something. So he said, okay, we're going to ride our bikes to church. And he didn't tell him how far it was. And understand, it's just like that. You had to go down I-5. And he starts riding. They ride for 10, 15, 20 minutes. What time's your service at? Oh, we'll get there pretty soon. 5 miles. 10 miles. They're riding down the side of I-205. How far away is this church? Oh, it's about 26 miles. Didn't tell him they wouldn't until he's over halfway. He might as well ride the rest of the church. That young man who came on the bike, surrendered to evangelism, still serving God today. You know, it's amazing how God just does the things. You don't even have a plan. You don't have it all figured out. You just go and ask God to do something, and God decides to open doors. And God does it. It's unexpected. Let me say this. God never opens doors to sin. No man, I've heard some people say, God has opened the door for this. If it's unbiblical, is Satan opening doors? God does not open doors. No man say, when I'm tempted of God. Oh, you know what? I know he's not a Christian, but God has opened the door and put him in my life. No. God does not violate Scripture. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three agree in one. God says no man is tempted by God. God does not open doors for you to do wrong, but God opens doors for you to do great things. The Lord's open doors are unpredictable. Next, the Lord's open doors are for knockers. Are for knockers. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll go back to Revelation. The Lord's open doors are for knockers. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. How do you get it open unto you? Oh, you're so smart. For those of you who are awake. How do you get it, the door open to you? What's that say there? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Did you know if you never check any doors, you'll never know if they're open or not? Open doors are for knockers. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You know why in Acts 16 they got led to Macedonia? Because they tried to go to Troas. I'm going to go win souls here. God says, no, not that door. Okay, I'm going to go win souls here. Nope, not that door. Okay, I'm going to go over here and preach the gospel. Nope, door's not open. I got a door for you to go to. You don't ever get an open door if you don't ever go knocking. I don't mean that just going door to door, door knocking. I'm talking to your life. You try to do nothing, you'll accomplish it every time. And you got to go and try to do something for God. Listen, the Church of Philadelphia had something going, and God said, I'm opening it because of some reasons. I'm opening doors. Let's look back at Revelation chapter 3 again. He says, there's a reason I'm opening the door for you, Philadelphia. Verse 8, I know thy works. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. You are doing something. You have kept my word. You've stuck with me. You've not denied my name. Therefore, I've opened a door to you. God has not opened doors for do-nothings. Listen, the person who says, Pastor, pray for me to get a job, but doesn't apply for a job, God never opens that door. The person who says, you know, pray for me to win some souls, and they don't go try to win a soul, they never win a soul. Open doors are for people who are going to go through them. You never know if a door is open if you're just laying there on your recliner all day. You don't wonder if there's any doors out there open in the world. Why don't you go ask? What if any hearts are receptive to the gospel? Why don't you go ask? Open doors are for door knockers. Open doors are for people who do something. Paul found open doors when he went. And sometimes he went somewhere and didn't have an open door, but he didn't know that and didn't get led to the next open door until he went and tried some doors. When we were in this last summer? No, summer before, we were in, it might have been last summer, we were in Oregon in Lincoln City for our vacation. And we went to we were going to go to one church, and understand, we had my whole family, we had two Howells Anderson College students who were tour group members, I mean, just outstanding students, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. We had the mom, my wife's mom, the dad, a future-to-be dad, all who know how to win a soul to Christ and know how to and have taught classes and done things for God. We had all kinds of workers, and I called a church in town there, and I've been to the church before, and the church is just, I'm talking just barely, doors are barely open in the church. And I said, hey, we're going to be here this Sunday. We would love to help you have a big day. I said, you give us some tracks, you give us some things, we'll be able to get you a big day and have a special day for your church. I understand church runs 10, 12 people. We're going to double it just being there. And I could not get this pastor motivated to do anything. I said, I couldn't get him to volunteer a vehicle, tracks, meet me, give us some tracks, anything. I said, you've got workers who've been trained very well in how to work for God. I said, you know what? I went to this church last year. I can't get them to do anything. And they all asked me to pick a church for us because we went to church. We're on vacation. And I said, okay. So I found another church. Well, this other church, I didn't know anything about it. Just looked at it. It looked doctrinally sound. And I said, we're going to go to this church up north, next town north. And I mean little town. I think maybe 300 people. It was 12 miles, 15 miles north of Lincoln City. We went to this church, and it was a great little church in the middle of nowhere. They had a little building, cute little building. It was a fun church. And you know what was interesting? The pastor was there, and the pastor had I guess he had 5 or 6 kids. Must be a godly man. And had 5 or 6 kids. And the pastor's kids had all gone out of town. Well, it's a small church in a small area. Of course, just a little tiny church. If you've been to a little church like that and in a little tiny town, you kind of know who's going to be there on Sunday. And especially when it's that small of a town, you know everybody in town. People don't surprise you. People aren't inconsistent in towns like that. They kind of do the same thing all the time. Our kids showed up, and our 5 kids at the time showed up, and we came to that church. And I called the guy the day before. I said, I just left a message. I'm in town. We're going to be going to church. Just don't want to surprise you. And want you to know we're going to show up. Just I need your service times and everything. And so he knew we were coming. No, I called him that night. The next morning he called me, and he said our service times are this, but we already figured it out through the phone book. We showed up for church that morning. Our kids show up. His kids were gone. There was no other kids in the church, except for I think there was a couple teenagers. Well, the lady who taught the class, she took my kids. It was the old pastor still went to church there. It was the father of the pastor. The old pastor and the pastor's wife, which is the pastor's mom and dad, still went there. She was a Sunday school teacher. The pastor's the pastor's mom, the pastor's wife, was out of town with the kids. No other kids except for our kids. She took the kids out there and taught our kids a class. My kids came out, said it was a great class. The lady told us a story, the old pastor's wife, who's now the pastor's mom. She told us a story. She said, this week, she said, you know, it's interesting because I knew our kids weren't going to be there. My grandkids weren't going to be there. They're the only kids who go to the church, and I teach a children's class. And I said, you know, I'm just not going to prepare a lesson this week. I'm just going to do nothing. Because I know no kids are going to show up. Nobody else is going to show up. We know who's going to be there, and none of them are kids, so I'm not going to take all the time. And she said, God really spoke to her heart and said, you know what, you need to prepare for a class. Whether anybody's there or not, you need to prepare. And she said, you know what, I'm going to prepare. And she got into her lesson, got excited about her message. And then she asked God, says, God, I've got this lesson prepared. You might as well send some kids. She had no idea kids were coming that week. But you know what? God opened the door. Why did God open the door for the one church, not the other? Because one person was a knocker and one person wasn't. And that lady got to teach a class and taught a class and was praising God up the church. And so God brought her kids to hear her lesson. She prepared for the Lord. And she didn't know anything was going to happen. Why? Because open doors are for knockers. Open doors are for people who are working. Open doors are for knockers. Next, open doors come with battles. 1 Corinthians 16 again. Open doors come with battles. That's not the fun part. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Open doors, Verse 9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. He said, isn't that great? I got an open door here and I'm going to stay here. And there are many adversaries. Oh, you know what's funny? When you walk through that open door and all of a sudden you go, what do I do? Oh man, no door's there. I'm going to try this. Nope, that's not going to work. Oh, look at that. That is awesome. Look at these open doors, these blessings. All of a sudden, poof. Oh, and guess who's here too? Old Satan. See, when you... The devil's not concerned about Christians who are doing nothing. Why would he fight them? He's concerned about Christians who are winning souls, praying, seeking revival, winning souls, reading their Bible, trying to help people, feeding the hungry, supporting missionaries. Those are the Christians he's worried about, those who are going through open doors, and he fights them. There are many adversaries if you want to go through open doors. If you want an easy life, don't go through open doors. See, if you want to just go through an easy life on vacation, just doing nothing for 50 or 60 years, just laying around on your spiritual couch and just saying, you know what, whatever happens, happens. Let the world all go to hell. I just want to be comfortable. You will not be fighting the devil as much. The devil just keeps one foot on you. You don't have to do anything. But those of you who want to do great things for God, there's many adversaries to open doors because those are the ones who scare the devil, and he fights them. Open doors come with many battles. Brother Bachman went to Bible college, or I went to Bible college. He was there before me, and he started a church in the States, and God called me a missionary to Germany. And he said, okay, I'll go to Germany. And he went to Germany, terribly under-supported, didn't get enough support, and went there and started having children, lots of kids. Boy, he had kid after kid after kid after kid. He's 13 kids now. He had lots of kids, and boy, he started a church there, and one little problem, he didn't speak any German. And he didn't do very good at learning it. He just couldn't get it. Tried to learn it. He was German. His great-grandfather still lived in Germany. And he thought, God's called me here, and I'm going to go here. Boy, he started having a rough time. Nobody was coming to church much. He had to just minister to people who spoke English. He started getting a lot of allergies and pretty serious health problems. He started getting real severe migraine headaches, and the ministry was going nowhere. But he was trying. He was praying. He was working. He was doing his best. But boy, nothing was happening. He one day decided to go, and there was refugee camps, so the Muslims came to Germany. Massive numbers of Muslims were coming to Germany. And he decided to go to one of those camps there and see if he can win any Muslims of Christ and just try to get an open door to witness to some of them. And in these refugee camps, they built big buildings to hold all the Muslim refugees. And he was trying to win souls there and thought, you know, maybe I can win some souls there. I don't speak German. Some of these people speak English. And he went in there one day, and he tried to win some souls to the soul winner, and he went up to one door, knocked on the door, and a guy opens the door, looks at him, and says, come on in, please, come on in, be seated. And he goes off and starts baking him some food, and Brother Bachman says, oh, man, these guys, you know, these people are all curious and stuff, but I want to win a soul to Christ. The man makes him food, he goes, says, stay here, and starts making him tea, gets his family all ready, and says, make them nice things. He has a very special guest. He never said a word to him. He says, come on in, sit down. Here's the stuff. He starts getting them ready, and he's getting them all the stuff ready. He's going, and he's actually getting frustrated. He's like, Lord, I'm trying to win souls here. I thought I would try here. I've tried everything else, and Lord, I'm just sitting here doing nothing, and these people are just taking forever, and their food's probably awful, and he's just grumbling. And the man walked back in, and he walked back to Brother Bachman. His name was Mr. Bezad. And he said, thank you for coming here. And Brother Bachman says, hey, I'm glad to be here. Let me tell you why I came here. He says, no, before you tell me that, I need your help. He says, okay, fine. He says, I need your help to find somebody. Now, he thought, oh, no, these guys always ask me to go talk to some government official or find their long-lost relative who landed on, who were on the other side of Germany. And here we are in Nuremberg, and we got to go find him in somewhere else. And he says, sure. And he says, I don't know who you are, but I came to this country, and I'm sick of Islam, and I want to become a Christian. And I've been knocking through all the refugee camps and saying, do you know anybody who can tell me how to become a Christian? And I've been going through all these doors, door to door, people yelling at me, spitting at me. The other Muslims are all mad at me. And I'm looking for somebody because somebody gave me one name, and they told me this man can tell me how to become a Christian. He says, I need to help me find this man. Mr. Bachman. Him. He says, Brother Bachman started weeping and just said, that's me. He won the man to Christ. Guy got saved, came to church Sunday, got baptized, and said, help me go in the Muslims of Christ. There's many Muslims who become Christians. And he started going around. There's a man here who can tell you how to become a Christian from being a Muslim. And started going out there. The Muslims started getting saved. Left and right and left and right. They started getting saved. He had his little church building. He rented out a little room for his regular church. And so he put them in a little room of about 30 people. And that room of 30 filled up with Muslims wanting to get saved. So another Sunday, he put them in the big room and switched his people, his other class, to the other room and put them into the room of 50 people. And there was over 50 Muslims in there. And they wanted to get saved. And then he combined both rooms in a separate service and filled both rooms with Muslims and preached the gospel to them. And he filled that up. And then he moved to that room of 70 filled up. Then the room of 200 filled up. And he kept getting bigger and bigger buildings. Muslims are getting saved left and right. God had opened the door for a new ministry. He began to preach two times, three times. He preached in the first service in English to the English people. Then he preached second service in English to the Muslims that spoke English. Third service to the Muslims. He ended up getting six services a day on Sunday. Preaching because they couldn't fit all the Muslims. It got so packed in the room that Brother Bachman had to have them stand up and then stand all around him on the stage. And he couldn't move around on the stage. All he could do was stand there and preach. Because there were so many people standing up all around and Muslims wanted to become Christians. In 10 years, he baptized 2,000 Muslims. Why? Because he kept on knocking and God opened a door he didn't expect. See, when God opens a door, great things can happen. But when you just have your plan and God's going to do it this way and I got my way of doing things and my way of the highway, I like it this way and it's going to happen just like this. You know what? God's not going to do anything. And those who don't knock... And he kept on trying different doors. They don't get those open doors. Great things happen to those who knock. 2,000 baptisms in 10 years. Now he's going to be going to Turkey. His church in Germany is running and continuing on both in English and in Farsi and to the Muslims. He's going to Turkey and taking a crew from Hiles Anderson College of 20 couples and going and starting the ministry to the Muslims in Turkey to hopefully start reaching the Middle East. Why? Because when God opens the door, it's very powerful. God can open doors. You just got to keep on knocking. God can open doors. You just got to desire those open doors instead of your way and what you want in life and just what you want to do or just doing nothing in the spiritual realm. Do you want to do anything in the spiritual realm? Keep knocking. Keep looking for open doors. Ask God to use you and pray. Ask and ye shall receive. Pray. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. God says, I want you to go and try and pray and ask me and beg me. Thou hast little strength, I'll open for you a door. No man can shut that door. God will help you if you'll keep on trying. One more thing in Revelation 3 and I'll finish up. It's awesome to have open doors and God brings great open doors. And open doors are awesome if you desire them. Or if you want to be content, you don't have to go through any open doors. God doesn't kick you through open doors. But you know, one of the saddest verses in the Bible is... Sad thing here is Jesus is looking for an open door. In chapter 3, verse 20, it's a very sad verse. Verse 19, it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He's talking to Laodicean church. He says, you know, church, I am trying to get you to repent. And he's talking to Christians here in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door... I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. You know, Jesus is looking for an open door. That open door is into your life. But many of us said, I got my life, my plans. The door is locked. Jesus says, hey, can I come into this life? You got time for me? We use that as a salvation verse, but nowhere in this passage do you see him talking to unsaved people in Revelation 2 and 3. Many Christians sit there with an open door of their life, my plans, my dreams, and Jesus says, can I have an open door? What a sad thing that God of the universe, in his love and in his greatness, put into mankind a free will to say no to God. And Jesus says, I sure would like into your life. Jesus never, he does not force you to do what he wants you to do. He gives you a free will, and he's knocking. Let me have your life. Let me in. No, I got my door shut. We're having a party in here. We don't got time for you. That's the case. Let me say, God wants to open big doors for you to do great things for him. But also, he wants you to open the door to let him in and work in your life and not just close the door and do what you want to do with your life. Who cares about your plans? God says, I want in, and I want on the throne. Let's pray together. Father, it's amazing what you can do when you open doors and how powerful you are, Lord. And amazing open doors that have happened through history, through the Bible, through more, Lord, just my own life and seeing you open doors. But Lord, you also shut doors sometimes, and people don't want to accept those doors are shut. They want their way, and they want the thing they wanted to do sometimes, and they don't accept the shut doors. But Lord, help us to realize that no man can shut the door that you open, and no man can open the door that you shut. And the open doors for doing great things are only open through you, Father. Lord, help us to seek open doors and knock and try and seek and ask and beg you to do great things and then walk through those open doors, realizing there's many adversaries, Lord, and not being afraid to go through when there's many adversaries, realizing there's a great opportunity. And Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus tonight that we would take the opportunities and you do great things for you, Lord. And I pray we take the opportunities, walk through open doors, and even though there's adversaries there and there's hardships there, help us to keep on going for you.